Hello, I am Tsigi Mkhize and welcome to Career Connect right here on Business Day TV, where we're talking about everything you need to know as a student or a graduate going into the world so you can understand what the expectations are and mostly how to prepare yourself. In today's episode, we'll be talking about a career in interior design. If you think you're creative, artsy, and you have the talent to turn spaces into something amazing, what do you need to know? Our guests today, Alan Foley and Sarita Naidu, are experts and students in this space, so we'll be chatting to them. Hi guys.
Hi. Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining me. So please just tell me a little bit about your experience in the interior design world.
Yeah.
Well, I've been at it for quite some time, as you can see. But look, interior design is not what people think it is. Yes, it is just putting a few things together in a house and trying to make it look nice, but it goes a bit further than that.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people who are, we call fly-by-night interior designers,
yep.
Who sort of, their sister or their cousin said it was quite clever of them to put those few cushions on a sofa and they have a flair for it, and the next minute they're opening up a business.
Yes.
But after the first job, they're gone because it's a little more complicated than that. And it's not glamorous.
Yes.
It's not a glamorous business as everybody thinks it is.
A little stressful, I imagine.
Yeah.
Very stressful, yes.
Okay, so
yes.
You're nodding a lot. So as a student, what's the space
I
like?
I can only imagine, because as a student, it's stressful. It's long nights, sleepless nights, trying to meet your deadlines. And I can imagine continuously deadline after deadline just to please a client. And
well, I mean, it's not only that, you end up becoming a psychiatrist for your client.
That's the relationship aspect of, you know, really caring about your client. So for somebody who's watching this, let's just start by defining what is the difference between interior design and exterior design.
Well, an interior design obviously concentrates on the interior of a house. I mean, I would say an exterior designer, which would be more like an architect, somebody who'd be more concerned about the structure of the home, whereas an interior designer, look, there are also two different things. There's an interior designer and an interior decorator.
Mm-hmm.
An interior designer has a little bit more expertise in terms of structural elements that go into the interior of the home,
okay.
Whereas an interior designer basically just gets asked to come in afterwards and fluff things up. You know,
okay,
the decorator, you know, sort of do the fluffy parts. But an exterior designer would be more like an architect, somebody more into architectural design.
So at what point does a person then consult an interior designer in the building of a home or the remodeling of a home?
At the start.
At the
start. You need us at the start. Because I feel like if an architect builds the structure of the whole house and your space planning within the house is completely wrong and they designed it, you can walk, you can actually create a space for a person to live in or work in. The environment is so important of how you create it inside.
Mm. Okay.
And simple things like if your client wants to have curtains put in, for example, and the architect hasn't made a provision for anywhere that the curtains will be able to be fixed to.
Mm.
Like, for example, you get interiors where suddenly a glass window goes right to the ceiling and then there's nowhere to put a curtain. But your client wants a curtain. That needs to be communicated to the architect in advance,
yes,
before the house is finished.
Okay, so this sounds like a very complex process. A lot more than what the movies would often show you.
Yes.
So tell me, when you're looking at a space, right, is it possible to just naturally have a flair? As you mentioned, that we have fly-by-night. Is it possible to have a natural flair for design? Or is it really something that's specific, very structured, you have to learn certain aspects about interior design?
Yes. So you need to know the basis. Your regulations is most important of what you have to have. The sands, or we have the sands. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm.
And you have to meet those criteria in order to have the environment and to meet those standards that our department wants. And also, it's so important to know your foundations.
Mm.
So it's not only about colors and how to throw a cushion on a chair. It's more in depth of how the structure of the whole house, of how the business, of how everything is. And that's what's important, yeah.
Mm. And I mean, we've had horror stories where, for example, an interior decorator, unqualified, has gone into a house and sort of redone it and restructured the house, and then 6 months later the top floor's fallen in on the bottom floor because, you know, engineers weren't consulted or... Mm. It's tricky.
It's tricky. So when we watch the shows on TV with people walking into beautiful plush homes and they're talking about the ceilings and the door space and the windows, they're not just adding in words. They are actually speaking to the design of a home.
Yes.
So if somebody's interested in this industry, where is a good place to start?
Well, I would say studying.
Yeah.
Studying is essential.
Where you are.
Essential. Yes. Yes.
And what are the aspects of education that we're looking at? You know, so I mean, there's lots of different places you can go to study interior design. You might have your universities that give you a more holistic look at it from a business perspective as well as a design perspective, and then you have creative schools that specifically focus on the design of it. What are you looking for as a student?
Well, as a student, when I was looking for an institute to actually study at, I look more of the environment, where am I going to get my knowledge, not only from interior design, but from other departments, from architecture, from graphics, because interior design is actually a whole collection of just knowledge of interiors, design, art, especially art. So you're influenced by everything. And so I chose UJA, as I am studying still there, and I think that's one of the best choices I had. You can go to private institutes that actually offer a more short course or just more in-depth in interior design or interior decorating. But I personally wanted that whole experience around it.
And what has your experience been like as a student?
Amazing. So long days, sleepless nights, like I said. But when you look at your final outcome of your work, when you see your renders and what you've designed, it just makes it so much better. You actually put all that hard work in just to see the outcome. And that's fantastic.
So for our matriculants, for example, who are watching the show right now, and they're thinking, even our grade 11s, who are really thinking about applying to university to study interior design, can you just walk us through that process a little bit? And literally from day one on campus, class one, you know, did you ever get into class and go, oh, this is not what I signed up for?
Well, first of all, you need to have a portfolio. So even if you have drawings at home, anything that you just scribbled up, bring that in to the institute for them to see that you have at least a basis of what design, and you have a talent or just kind of some design aspects within you. And then you just go from there. So they'll teach you the basis of what color, line. You go through each course, and it kind of opens up your whole knowledge of design and art. And from there, it actually creates this whole idea of design, until you come to third year and then you understand what you put in everything together. So at the beginning, they'll teach you about history of art, architecture. So you need to know the background of where this all came from. And from there, you'll start. But the most thing is you don't need talent. Yep. Lots of people think you need talent to go in. You just need hard work. So it's mostly like 10% talent, 90% hard work that will get you.
And an appreciation for the craft as well, because I imagine you do have to care about the history of art and creativity and all of that to really understand and appreciate how it all builds up to where you now are at third year.
And it's so interesting when you actually go in depth and you learn about so much things. You start, you walk around, even if you just go to a mall, and you pick up these little things.
Yeah. And you start having more appreciation for art everywhere you go.
So much more. Just a column, you look at a column and then now you know where this column came from. It's a Corinthian or if it's an Ionic column, and now you know all these things and you can tell everyone it doesn't know, and it's amazing.
Thanks so much. So that's the student perspective of what being an interior designer is all about. After the break, we speak to Alan, who's going to give us a more professional experience around what do you do day one on the job. For more, stay tuned after this break.
I think it's got to do with decorating your interior space. It doesn't matter whether it's your house or it's like any space that's there to decorate. I don't know how to put it, but anyway,
I'll say it's a course that is related to like designing houses, designing, I don't know, office spaces and all of that. Yeah,
it's a 50-50 thing. I think if you've got the skill, then for you to enhance it, then you can go and study. But if you want to learn more about it and you don't have it, then you can go and study. So it's a 50-50 take thing. It's up to the person what they want.
I guess anything can be like a self-taught skill. But if I had a house, I would want somebody that knows what they're doing. You know, like somebody that has gone to like school or college or even like a short course on the thing to do my designing, like my house.
I think you should be creative or like have that ability to translate the picture that I give you into something tangible. So sometimes I may say this is what I want, but I don't really have an idea of how exactly you're going to deliver that. So just be able to take what I am giving to you and, yeah, make it tangible.
I think you need to know how to work with people, how to understand what your client wants. You know, somehow you need to know how to read minds. You need to know how to be like a people pleaser. Basically you just need to understand your client and what they want, and you also need to know how to deliver how you see whatever it is that they want.
It's color. You must know your colors. The colors have to always be on point, and you must know also your trends, what is in, what is out, especially when it comes to interior designing a house. You need to know what is the latest taps, what is the latest lights, what is the latest color trend that's going on. So you always have to be on your A game when it comes to your interior designing. So color, and what is the latest marketing trend that's in there.
Welcome back to Career Connect with me, Nsigi Mkhize, where we are speaking about a career in interior design. I'm sitting here with Sarita and Alan, who've been sharing their insights from a student and professional perspective. Now, before the break, Sarita was telling us a little bit about being a student in the space, you know, what happens day one on campus, and all the theory that builds up from first year until third year of appreciating a column and where it comes from, and how that actually feeds into being an interior designer. Being a professional in this industry for so many years, you know, what does day one on the job look like?
Well, when I finished studying, I was very fortunate. I studied in Durban, and I was very fortunate to be asked to work with one of the top interior designers in Durban. And I think if you are starting out, the best way is to actually go into a company, go and work for somebody, whether you have to intern or whether you get a full-time job. But it's necessary to actually learn how the business works, because you don't always necessarily learn at university the ins and outs of what goes into the daily routine. Dealing with clients is a very particular thing. Dealing with suppliers is a very difficult thing. And it's you sort of have to sort of learn how to deal with people on a daily basis, as you have to in any business. But my day starts off with following up. If you are doing a house, I'm a one-man band, but there's a cost of thousands involved, and you've got to try and, if you're installing a house, if it's a big house, it's going to take you maybe 2-3 weeks to from beginning to end. Everything has to be programmed according to who needs to come first, what they need to do, move out for the next one to come in. And then you're always fighting with builders.
Of course. We've all heard the stories about how long it takes to actually build.
Always fighting with builders, yes. And look, it's not glamorous. The reality TV programs make it look very glamorous.
Yeah.
Yes, it looks like you go in.
Not like that at all.
Yes, it looks like you go in the morning and 30 minutes later
you're
it's
done.
Yes, no, it's not like that at all. And I mean, people are sometimes surprised. They'll come there and I'll be up a ladder trying to put up a curtain myself or something like that just to get the job done. But it's very rewarding. I mean, when your client comes in and they burst into tears because they're so happy, it makes everything worthwhile.
It's all worth it.
It's beautiful. So earlier on you mentioned that, you know, the best thing to do coming out of university is to then join a company, and I'm sure that gives you a lot of exposure, it gives you experience and so forth, and also allows you to learn the little nuances of the industry. What about somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur? You know, they've studied the field and they're happy to do it, but they want to go at it by themselves. What's the process like that?
Well, I think then you have to have a lot of money behind you.
Okay.
Just to start off, yes. But I mean, the thing is, you've got to build up a clientele. You've got to be out there in the market. And it's very difficult to do that if you're just coming out of university cold. Nobody knows you. You haven't been in the industry. Suppliers don't know you. Fabric houses don't know you, so you've got to start that whole process of opening accounts with fabric houses, which is very important. But, you know, being able to deal with suppliers who only deal with the trade. So look, it's not impossible, but for me, I think it's easier if you actually try and do it by sort of piggybacking on somebody else to start off with for a few years, definitely. And I mean, the thing with interior design is it's such a lovely sphere to be in because it's so creative, and it's not just interiors. You know, it's influenced by so much. It's influenced by the movies we see. It's influenced by the clothes we wear.
True.
And that's what makes it exciting. And I think that's why people are sort of amused yeah. and they find it quite exciting.
It's something to marvel at, indeed.
Exactly.
So you said you're now a one-man band, you know, so how was that branch out and that journey from you from being part of a company, working underneath a sought-after interior designer, and now having a name for yourself in the space?
Well, look, it's very difficult, but I mean, also when you're working for somebody else, you kind of start adapting to what their style is. And, you know, if you're a bit green or a bit wet behind the ears, you sort of become their clone. And then it takes a few years before you develop your own style and work out what it is that you feel you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And then when you've built up the confidence in yourself, and again, once you're known in the industry so that you can go out there and say, okay, I'm doing this by myself yes. now, and people will take you seriously.
Yeah. Mm. What advice would you have for somebody like Sarita and other students on really how to build a name for yourself, even if you're not going out by yourself and you're joining a company? How do you step into a space and really make your mark felt?
Well, you know, in my day, we didn't have social media. And social media is a very useful tool these days because it's the way to get yourself out there to people who don't even know you. Using the right hashtags, for example. I mean, if you're out in the... Like you say, even if you're in a shopping center, you see a lovely column, you Instagram that.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this lovely column, you know. Hashtag interior design, interior designer, whatever, whatever. And
yes.
soon enough, you're going to be there, appearing on hashtags, appearing on yes. social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of doing it. And then you never know. Somebody's going to say, yes, I like that column too. Let me give you a ring.
Sure. And that basically yeah. starting a conversation online with people who are on the
exactly.
look for talent.
Yeah. Exactly.
From both your perspectives, what would you say some of the pros and cons are of being in the world of interior design?
As a student, I would think it's more... No one actually understands an interior designer. They always think it's this whole glamorous, throwing a cushion or like just a mat on a floor, when it's not actually that. There's nothing glamorous about those late nights when you're struggling just to find the correct fabric house or something like that there just to work with you. And you're working at times, and you actually have to be that wet blanket and tell the person, no, you can't have this. It's not going to work.
Crushing dreams.
Yeah, you have to be the one that crushes the dreams for them.
Mm. And it's also to get people to understand that using an interior designer is not an expensive process. Yes, it can be,
yes.
but it can be even more expensive to try and do it yourself and make the mistakes.
Okay.
You know, employing an interior designer is actually helpful. It saves you money in the long run. And it's a way for you to get somebody else's expertise and somebody to work with you and build your dream for you.
I love yeah. that. And at what point do you sort of separate yourself and the client? You know, I imagine sometimes if you're very passionate about a project, you might get a little intermingled with the client insisting on having everything in champagne pink, and you just saying, you know, it really doesn't work with the lime green couches that you want. So at what point, you know, how do you travel that line of what you want and what the client wants?
Well, that's when you have to be the psychiatrist.
Mm.
No, I mean, I'll say to clients, I mean, I always joke, I tell this story. A client of mine, I gave them a quotation, and she phoned me a couple of days later and said, you know, I've just been thinking. And I said, well, stop right there. Who on earth told you to think? Never, ever do that again.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, they're employing you because they need your expertise. They
yeah.
want your expertise. So give it to them. You know, don't be afraid of your clients. They've asked you to come on board because they need your advice.
Mm. So finally, we live in a global world. So from studying somewhere in South Africa to being a global name, how does somebody then build an international career for themselves in interior design?
That's definitely one for you.
Well,
eh?
I think it's very difficult to build an international name in any sphere.
Sure.
But from my personal point of view, I've done some homes overseas for clients who've moved there, but to be quite honest, I'm quite happy to stay here. I think, you know, if you're a one-man band, you've got to also realize that, yes, you can do all these wonderful jobs, but stick to what you know, stick in your lane.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy working here. I'm busy. Yeah. And I love working here. I don't really want to go anywhere else.
Yeah, and I'm sure the design feel around the world changes depending
yeah.
on the country
exactly,
that you're in.
Exactly. I visit other countries just to see, you know, get stimulus.
Great
but
idea.
But I'm quite happy to stay here.
Okay, so for anybody who wants to ask you more questions, get in touch with you. Where do they find you on social media?
Instagram, anywhere.
Okay.
Yes.
Sarita Naidu.
On Instagram, it's Sarita04. Just pop me a direct message and I'll help out with any questions. I know how a student is. How the life is, I got them, nobody.
Yes, I'm there. Alan Foley 6 everywhere.
Everywhere.
Twitter, Instagram.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best with your career and your studies.
Thank
and
you so
you
much.
Continue being amazing.
Thank you.
For more great shows on interior design and other things about your career, stay tuned here to Career Connect only on Business Day TV. Thanks so much for watching.